If you believe any of the various explanations given for the position of the dumb in the social order, then you will be forced to concur that a vast bureaucracy is necessary to address the problem of the dumb. Otherwise, they would murder us in our beds. The possibility that dumb people don't exist in sufficient numbers to warrant the many careers devoted to tending them may seem incredible to you, yet that is my proposition. Mass dumbness first had to be imagined. It isn't real. Hector, the horse tamer. See 13-year-old Hector Rodriguez as I first saw him one cold November day. Slightly built, olive-skinned, short, with huge black eyes, his body twisted acrobatically in an attempt to slip past the gate of the skating rink at the northern end of Central Park. I had known Hector for several months as his teacher, but up to that time I had never really seen him, nor would I have seen him then but for the startling puzzle he presented. He was gate-crashing with a fully paid admission ticket in his pocket. Was he nuts? Finding Hector wedged between the bars of the revolving security gate, I yelled, "Hector, you idiot, why are you sneaking in? You have a ticket." He gave me a look that said, "Why shout? I know what I'm doing." He actually appeared offended by my lack of understanding. Hector was conducting an experiment to answer a simple question. Could the interlocking bars of the automatic turnstile be defeated? What safer way to find out than with a paid ticket in hand in case he got caught? Later, as I searched school records for clues to understanding this boy, I discovered that in his short time on Earth he had built up a long record as an outlaw. Although none of his crimes would have earned him more than a good spanking 100 years earlier, now they helped support a social service empire. At the time of this incident, Hector attended one of the lowest-rated public schools in New York State, part of a select group threatened with takeover by state overseers. Of the 13 classes in Hector's grade, a full 9 were of higher rank than the one he was in. Hector was an exhausted salmon swimming upstream in a raging current that threatened to sweep away his dignity. We had deliberately unleashed the flood by assigning about 1,100 kids into 5 strict categories. Gifted and talented honors. Gifted and talented. Special progress. Mainstream and special ed. These last kids had a cash value to the school 3 times higher than that of the others, providing a genuine incentive to find fatal defects where none existed. Hector belonged to the doomed category called mainstream, itself further divided into categories labeled A, B, C, and D. Worst of the worst, above special ed, was mainstream D. This was where Hector reported. Since special ed was a life sentence of ostracism and humiliation at the hands of one's peers, we might even call Hector lucky to be in the mainstream, though as mainstream D, he was suspended in that thin layer of mercy just above the truly doomed. Hector's standardized test scores placed him about 3 years behind the middle of the pack. He wasn't just behind the 8 ball, he was 6 feet under it. Shortly after I found Hector breaking and entering, he was arrested in a nearby elementary school with a gun. It was a fake gun, but it looked pretty real to the school's secretaries and principal. Hector had been dismissed for the Christmas holiday that morning, at which time he had hightailed it to his old elementary school, which was still in session, intending to turn the younger children loose, to free the slaves like a pint-sized Spartacus. I found this out at the faculty Christmas party when the principal came over to where I was camped by the potato salad and cried, "Gatto, what have you done to me?" Travel forward now 1 year in time. Hector is a freshman in high school. On his second report card, he has failed every subject and has been absent enough to be cited for truancy. Can you see the Hector portrayed by these implacable school records? Poor, small for his age, a member of a minority, not paid much attention by people who matter, dumb in a super dumb class, a bizarre gatecrasher, a gunslinger, a total failure in high school. Can you see Hector? Certainly you think you can. How could you not? The system makes it so easy to classify him and predict his future. What is society to do with its Hectors? This is the boy, multiplied by millions, whom school people agonized about in every decade of the 20th century. This is the boy who destroyed the academic mission of American public schooling, turning it into a warehouse operation, a clinic for behavioral training and attitude adjustment. When the Christian Science Monitor made a documentary about my class and Hector's, the principal said to the filmmakers, "Sure, the system stinks, but John has nothing to replace it, and bad as the system is, it's better than chaos." But is the only alternative to a stifling system really chaos? The country has been sold the idea Hector is the problem of modern schooling. That misperception is the demon we face under its many guises and behind its shape-shifting rhetoric. Forced schooling itself was conceived to be the front line in a war against chaos, the beginning of the effort to keep Hector and his kind in protective custody. Important people believe, with the fervor of religious zealots, that civilization can only survive if the irrational, unpredictable impulses of human nature are continually beaten back and confined until their demonic vitality is sapped.